You know, that's more often than not, your story is the same story that I hear from other veterans. The understanding that we're all kind of going through the same types of things, maybe not the same specific thing, but the same types of things. So that's pretty much what I do on my show, what we just did.
This is Star of the Doubts. I'm Jared Easley, and I'm joined again by Dan Franks. Dan, what are you sipping on?
Well, I'm having a beer and enjoying my triumphant return to the Star of the Doubts airwaves.
It is a triumphant return. It's your second time this year. We, if I recall, recorded in Las Vegas, and now we are here at King's in Orlando, a personal favorite.
Yeah, personal favorite for in a very exclusive podcast movement private meetup.
A little too exclusive for this particular hour, but we're hoping that's going to change.
That's right.
The joke is we've invited a bunch of people for a meetup and not everyone is here yet.
Mainly because this is the pre-function. We are here before the official start time.
This is what some people call pre-gaming, right?
That's right. You're pre-gaming on a diet Dr. Pepper, it looks like.
A Diet Coke, but I do intend to upgrade as we continue the evening.
Red wine's on me tonight, Jared.
Fair enough. All right, so Dan, I want to hear about podcast movement this year from your perspective.
Well, while we're in Orlando for FinCon 2018, which we're very excited about, we're pulling a little double duty and taking care of business while we're in town, because the host location of FinCon 2018 happens to also be the same venue and home for Podcast Movement 2019, which is the beautiful Rosen Shingle Creek right here in Orlando, Florida. And we got a chance today, Jared, to walk with our team as well as with the team from the hotel.
Yes.
Our space for Podcast Movement 2019 and look at the meeting rooms, the lounge rooms, some of the places where most of the events will be taking place this year. And I must say, Jared, this will be the most beautiful and, in my opinion, the funnest podcast movement yet.
I believe it will be, partly because the resort it is just top notch. Almost everything about it is pretty amazing. Once you pull in, you're like, wow. And then you go inside, and then you're like, wow. Everywhere you go.
Yeah, keyword being resort. I don't think you'd refer to any of the previous five locations for Podcast Movement as resort. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, but it really is. You know, when you come to Florida, you come to Orlando, you expect it to be nice and pretty. And sure enough, when you come to Podcast Movement 2019, there will be palm trees aplenty. There will be six or seven different swimming pools to choose from, all kinds of restaurant options. And Jared, you know, some people might be scared by Orlando in August, but set one sight on the Rosen Shingle Creek and that won't be the case anymore, because there is plenty to do under the sun, but also under the AC.
It is in the AC, and thank goodness for that. Now, we couldn't always say that in Philadelphia. Why is that, Dan?
There was some electricity issues in Philadelphia. I'm told the whole power grid shut down overnight one night. So, Jared, sometimes it just takes a while to boot up the system again.
Well, it seemed to really affect only two or three rooms, but those rooms were...
Unfortunately, they were the rooms that hosted Podcast Movement.
Those rooms were a little bit on the warmer side.
That's true. There was we didn't advertise a sauna option at Podcast Movement, but we did force it upon some.
But there was one available. That's right. Okay, so overall, Philly, how'd you feel about it?
Oh, it was great. I loved it. You know, as the organizers, there's always some things that you wish would go different or go better. But in terms of the feedback that we got from attendees and speakers and sponsors, really, I think our best overall feedback event to date. And, you know, it gives us something really fun and cool to build off of for the future. But I thought it went great. What about you?
One of the fun things that we did, I believe this was before it really kicked in, maybe that first night, is we took the volunteers over to a local establishment and had some food with them, just enjoyed visiting with them. And then I don't know if this was on purpose or part of the deal, but all the video games and everything was free, or at least for that particular.
Free to them.
Well, so we sat there and played everything from, whatever. I mean, there was a ski ball, pop shot, basketball,
football games.
What was the hockey? It was like a old school.
Yeah, that was cool. It was kind of like a hockey equivalent of foosball. It wasn't exactly like foosball, but it was that.
But it was actual hockey players with a little black puck, but it's almost like foosball where you're spinning and you're twisting little, little handles.
Yeah, now that one got a little competitive. It wasn't as fun and laid back as skee ball.
It was way more fun than I anticipated. And, one of our friends, Chris Murphy, was literally drenched with sweat at the end of the evening from shooting basketball.
And he didn't even have to go into the sauna inside the hotel for that.
Yeah. So, but that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And then the actual event started. That was even before the event. Speaking of before the event, you and I and Jack Montgomery got the chance to put together some furniture.
That's true. Not only do we get to put, we really got the full experience, Jared, because not only did we get to assemble the furniture, but we also got to go pick it up and pick it out from IKEA. Make some design decisions while there. And yeah, that's only part of the fun though, because when you get back, the best part about IKEA furniture is you get to put it together yourself.
Yeah. So we put it together, set it up. I would say that the IKEA furniture was a home run. People were using it throughout the event. And then at the end of the event, obviously, we couldn't just take it back, and none of us were in a position to put it on the airplane to fly home. So we ended up donating it to a couple local Philadelphia podcasters.
Yeah, so that's one of the unadvertised benefits of coming to Podcast Movement is sometimes you get to take home a souvenir, and sometimes that souvenir is a large desk and oversized chairs.
And sometimes we're not willing to take it home. So you
bring
take
a piece
it home
of Podcast Movement
away.
Home with you. Now, yeah. Jared, something that people wanted to take home and weren't able to were the bean bags. How about those?
The bean bags were more popular than I anticipated, and I thought they were great, but I did notice some people laying on them and in particular ways that made me uncomfortable, and then I felt bad for the person that didn't realize who laid on it before them and then laid on it.
So you're saying Chris Murphy drenched in sweat then got on the bean bag.
Yeah, so I'm saying, maybe you have a little sanitary wipe before you get on the bean bags. But that's
what I was surprised about, Jared, is attending Podcast Movement, while we try to keep prices low, it's an investment. We don't try to minimize that.
This is true.
It's a time investment and it's a cost investment. And some people spent more money than I expected to sleep on bean bags while at the event. There was some naps taking place.
You know, and I don't think those people that were napping were staying at the hotel. I think that was that was someone who drove in from wherever and decided, hey, I'm going to have a little break, and for my break, I'm going to sleep on this.
Which, Jared, they probably were not staying at the hotel because the room sold out pretty quick.
They did sell out. So much so that we were trying to get a new block of rooms to accommodate our attendees, and we weren't able to. And conveniently, the hotel like doubled, maybe tripled the price, and people still paid for it.
So if you paid $600 a night to stay at the hotel... you can send your thank you cards to the Philadelphia Marriott, not to us.
If I'm going to spend $600 a night on a hotel, Dan, I want it to be like some unbelievable Disney.
I heard you once bid that much on a Priceline 4-star rooms in Orlando.
No, never that amount. We'll get to that. But no, if I'm going to stay in a $600 a night hotel, it better be like Hawaii or Disney, or it's got to be like something amazing.
Yeah, at least want a partial beach view.
At a bare minimum. Downtown Philly, I don't know that I'm willing to spend that kind of money on downtown Philly. Nothing against downtown Philly.
No, but the Rosen Shingle Creek at Podcast Movement, we've got the rates negotiated super low, about $20 a night lower than last year. So
yeah,
well inside the budget and very good deals for Orlando's most beautiful resort.
Oh, man. It is one of the nicest resorts that I've stayed at. Oh,
people starting to arrive, Jared.
Well, we got some
new friends
coming in. I'm excited to see and meet a new friend here.
Howard, nice to meet you, Howard.
Come on over. We're having a podcast. Howard, introduce yourself.
Have a seat, Howard.
So, Howard, tell us about yourself.
Well, my name is Howard Salter, and I host the Ace Report podcast. We're pretty young. We've only got about 8 episodes right now.
Congratulations. Most people don't make it past 7, right?
Right. That was the big one. I actually hit a little stall, but I'm trying to book people to come on and tell their stories. Basically, what I do is I let veterans come on and tell about life before the military, during the military, and then after the military, and some of the struggles they face.
Can we just do a little practice, like we're on your podcast for a moment? Because I'm a veteran, former Navy.
Excellent.
So, I mean, of course, we're not going to dominate the show, but let's just take a moment and pretend we're on your show.
Sure.
What would that be like?
So the way we usually start is, I'll ask you where you grew up.
I grew up in 2 places. So until I was 9 years old, I was in North Georgia. Okay. Really south of the Tennessee line. So Chattanooga area really is what I tell people. And then our family moved to Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, which if you ever get a chance, maybe not.
Okay. I'll assume that you were in Montgomery before you joined.
I was in Montgomery, but I didn't join the military from Montgomery. I later went to college in Texas. I fell in love against my better judgment. And that didn't work out. And right. When that blew up in my face, and then I had to spend money on some emergency dental work, I realized... Wow. I'm not sure what I want to do with my life. Okay. And I think I watched Crimson Tide and like a couple of movies. And then next thing you know, I was like, I'm going to join the Navy. And I didn't research it at all. One of the worst mistakes I've ever made. I definitely recommend anyone who's planning to be enlisted to learn about the different jobs, talk to someone that does it. I think that will help. I didn't do that. Yeah. I was naive. I just said, okay, I want to travel. I want to have some structure or whatever, which it did provide.
Right, of course.
And I joined blindly in a sense. And man, I paid for that for a few years because I ended up getting in a role that I just really didn't enjoy. And then you're just kind of having to weather through it until you're done. And that was a challenge, but there was obviously some good from it.
Yeah, definitely. Would you say that the thing that drove you there was this kind of idea that you had in your head of the military?
Well, I'd have never imagined initially that I'd be military, but I grew up in a family that didn't really have the means to kind of pay for college or support me to an extent. And in my household, it was absolutely normal to leave when you're 18. Like, okay. You'll see people now that are older and still living at home. And that just was never even an option where I grew up. Like, you turn 18, okay, you better have something to do. Go find something. And so for me, getting out of the house was... That's what I had to do. That's what I was going to do. But when it hits the fan, so to speak, and you run into some kind of challenge, whether it's financial or whatever, car breaks down or something, I didn't really have anybody to turn to. So it's like, okay, well, this is on me. I got to figure this out. I got to work extra. I was a student and I was also working. And whatever money I was planning for the next semester of college, all of a sudden I had some dental problems. I need to get some work done. And, that sucked away all that money because I didn't have insurance.
Got to do something.
This is not a woe is me, by the way. It's just what happened. But I look back and I realize this was kind of a series of events that put me in a position where I was humble enough or willing. Before, I might have said, military, that's not for me. I think I could maybe do something better with my time or my life. And then I realized, no, I need some kind of structure. I need some stability. And the military all of a sudden became a really good option when it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. The regret, again, if you want to call it that, was that I didn't look into it more. I didn't research it more. And I think if I had done that, I would have still continued to be in the military, but I found something that I think better suited my interest and my gifts or skills.
Right.
If there is a regret, that's the regret.
So in your transition out of the military, could you kind of describe that process? Was there people coming alongside you to make sure you were successful?
Not at all.
How did that work for you?
Not at all. And in fact, that was very difficult for me. And I've talked to other veterans who they've had difficulty with that as well. Now, I got out in 2003. So, we're talking 15 years. But I remember those first year or two getting out, like my mind was just like, I need to get back in. It was like, what did I do? Why did I get out? But I remember... Well, hold on. Why are you saying, why did you get out? You needed to get out. You wanted to get out. You wanted to, you weren't real pleased with the role you were in. You wanted to try something else, but you get kind of accustomed to that stability and that paycheck and not having to pay rent and whatever else, So for me, and I lived in Hawaii. I didn't mention that, but I was stationed in Hawaii.
Wow.
Hawaii was fantastic. Like being a young single guy, I mean, Hawaii was, what other chances are going to get? Most likely, even coming from Alabama to go live in Hawaii.
Yeah, that's a dream duty
station. It really was. And whatever challenges I had in the Navy, at the end of the day, I was in Hawaii. If I had days off, I was, living in a place that people save year-round of vacation to for 7 days. But that's it. When I transitioned out, I got a job just being in food service, which is nothing wrong with that. But I was waiting tables and I remember just kind of looking at myself and being like, man, I went from, being an electronics technician and having these responsibilities and doing things that a little bit of self-worth. And now I'm just, serving some food and slinging some plates and just kind of, maybe I'm better than that. Not that that's bad, but that there's like, maybe that's not for me long term. And there was a season where I almost went and got back in that ended up not playing out. but I came very close to it because I didn't know what to do. Right. I didn't have a plan. I had not saved money. So it was just kind of like, well, I'm going to get out and I guess I'm going to go to school and I guess I'm going to, it was a lot of guessing, but I was young, not to make that an excuse, but that's my encouragement also to veterans that are getting out is don't just get out. I mean, you need to think through what you're considering, what you want to do. If you don't know, you need to talk to people. I didn't do that.
Absolutely.
I was naive.
So let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
As you exit the military, you've come through this kind of convoluted process where they just make you sign a bunch of paperwork to say you're no longer part of the armed forces. What would you say your most difficult challenge was on the outside after having come through all that?
Well, there was a few things. So household goods being shipped like that, there was a big error in that and it was delayed. It went to the wrong place.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So long story short, I had to wait several weeks for my stuff. So I'm like living out of literally a sea bag,
nice.
You know, and whatever, you know, I think I was collecting unemployment at that point.
So whatever you carried
with
you.
Right? Money. That was a little bit stressful. And yeah, I think after a couple of months, when I finally got my stuff and I finally figured out, I actually had a conversation with my sister who I was very close with. My father passed away when I was 10. And so our family was real close after that. And so my sister's someone I've always looked up to. I've always kind of respected her and trusted her. She's like, hey, come, you know, her and her husband had just had their first child and hey, come live with us and until you kind of get back on your feet and
right.
go to school, whatever. And at that particular moment, I was like, you know, that's what I'm going to do. So I moved where I joined the military was out of Texas. So when I'd gotten out, I'd gone back to Texas. But then I realized, no, I'm not going to stay in Texas. My sister's in Orlando, which is where we are today.
Right.
And so I moved to Orlando, and that ended up being the best thing for me because not only did I get the time with the family, but also ultimately met my wife. I got a career path eventually, which after about 14 years led me into what I do now.
So <Got you. laughs>
there's a lot of in between there. But
so yeah. This will be my last question.
Yeah.
And it's the same last question I ask all of my guests, which is, what would you say to that guy or girl who's just exited the military? They're in that place where there's no household goods. They don't know what they're going to do. It seems like maybe the best idea is to jump right back in something that you just left. What would you say to that person?
I'd say it's not wrong to jump back in, but don't just jump back in because of fear. There actually is a lot more help now that I didn't know about at the time. And I think if you can get online and you can kind of look around for different offerings for veterans, you'll find that there's a lot of people that can give you good advice on career or job placement, or if it's something related to how you use your benefits, there are options. So don't freak out. I think talk to several people that have experience with this sort of thing, get advice, and then start to make a decision based on having information that is in your best interest. Now, I know when you're in a stressful situation, that's easier said than done.
Right.
So I think as much as possible, get some kind of stable work. And sometimes stable work is being an Uber driver. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
There's opportunities now that didn't exist in 2003 where you can have something flexible. I heard about a lady the other day. She's working for Shipt, which is where you go and you pick up groceries for people that aren't able to go to the grocery store or they don't have the time or whatever that is. They fill out a grocery list. And then you, if you're working with Shipt on the app, you get that list. You go to the store, you get the goods, and then you deliver it and you get paid. Plus you get tipped. And I know I don't know her personally, but my sister knows this lady who's doing that. And she's making a full-time living just picking up groceries. And I think, okay, what if, you know, I am an Uber driver or a Lyft driver? What if I, you know, help people get their groceries? All of a sudden I have some income. It may not be substantial,
right?
But I'm not in a position where I'm about to get kicked out of a apartment, or I'm not, you know what I mean? Or
right.
I'm hopefully while someone's in the military, they're not knee deep in debt. I see that happen a lot.
Yep.
But if that's not the case, which I hope it is, try to have flexibility with work and allow yourself to get some more info, get some more advice so you can start thinking what direction is right for you. It may not be going back in, or it may be, but sometimes it doesn't have to be. Sometimes it just takes a little understanding what your options are.
Yep.
So that's my advice is have some flexibility with work and learn what you can learn about your your current options. And you sometimes you don't know stuff until you try it. And that's another thing somebody didn't tell me until later. You know, I didn't realize that. I didn't think I could be good at a particular thing because I've never done it. But that's one thing the military does kind of prep you for is there's a lot of situations in the military that you've never done until you do it.
Sure.
But then all of a sudden you realize, okay, I'm capable of this.
You know, that's more often than not, your story is the same story that I hear from other veterans. The understanding that we're all kind of going through the same types of things.
Right.
Maybe not the same specific thing, but the same types of things. So that's pretty much what I do on my show, what we just did.
Well, I appreciate that. Where can people check out your show?
I'm at theacereportpodcast.com and on Twitter and Facebook, we're The Ace Report.
The Ace Report.
Yes. And you can find us all those places, catch up on our whole 8 episodes.
Cool. And where's home?
Home is here in Orlando. Actually,
Apopka. Oh, so you're in Orlando.
Right.
In Apopka. Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Were you military? Or?
I was. I served 7 years in the infantry in the United States Army.
Outstanding.
And did a combat deployment and a hardship deployment and got out and realized there's a bunch of guys that don't feel a connection or a brotherhood anymore.
Yeah.
And need to know there's folks out there that know what they're going through.
Oh, that's well said. You know, we didn't touch on this, but I didn't want to call it this word when it was happening, but I went through a depression and I've seen that with other folks that get out, you know.
Absolutely.
It's such a culture shock. It's such a different, because you've been so consistently living a certain way and then it's just so radically different that some people experience a lull or experience what could be called depression or a funk or whatever you want to call it. And I think that's more normal than people realize.
Absolutely. And that's why it's even more important today to connect with those guys and let them know.
Yeah, I was not immune to that. I went through that. But I thankfully I had family and I had some people around me to kind of listen to me and be patient with me. That was another thing, man. It's wonderful. If you can find some people in your life who can be patient with you.
Right. I'm still looking for that.
You might want to keep those people. And you might want to be nice to them because that's not an easy thing to maintain and keep. I won't keep going on and on, but I absolutely wish you the best. I know 8 episodes may not seem like a lot, but it's a fantastic start. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
Certainly hope that it continues. And, you know, you never know what opportunities could open up from this. This could lead to you speaking to veterans at bases and, you know, who knows? There's all kinds of opportunities that could open up.
So. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you letting me come on your show and do my show.
Of course. Absolutely. That's why we're hanging out. So
thanks again.
Yeah. Cheers, man.